Turn in your Bibles, please, to Psalm 55. Psalm 55. We'll read responsively from our New King James Bibles, as usual. Psalm 55. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and do not hide yourself from my supplication. Because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they bring down trouble upon me, and in wrath they hate me. Fearfulness and trembling have come upon me, and horror has overwhelmed me. Indeed, I would wander far off and remain in the wilderness, Selah. Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues, for I have seen violence and strife in the city. Destruction is in its midst. Oppression and deceit do not depart from its streets. But it was you, a man my equal, my companion and my acquaintance. Let death seize them. Let them go down alive into hell, for wickedness is in their dwellings and among them. Evening and morning and at noon I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. God will hear and afflict them, even he who abides from of old, Selah. Because they do not change, therefore they do not fear God. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords. But you, O God, shall bring them down to the pit of destruction. Bloodthirsty and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in you. May God give his blessing here as we meditate on his word. We see that the New King James translators have a little heading here, trust in God concerning the treachery of friends, and perhaps that is a good little statement, a possible statement of a theme. What we have here as well is, of course, the scriptural superscript, to the chief musician with stringed instruments, a contemplation of David. So we know, humanly speaking, who the author is. Now, I'd remind us, of course, that this is not merely the word of David, it is the word of God. And why is that important to remind, to be thinking about? It is because all too often within the Church of Jesus Christ, there is a thought that somehow these words are not good to be used in worship because somehow they are pre-Christian or something of the sort. And that David this or David that or David the other, and people find some offense here. we see, particularly in this psalm, and there are others, attitudes that to our hearing, at least initially, seem to be full of nastiness and hatefulness and revenge. And we think, oh, that David. Oh, I don't want to sing those kinds of words. Let's remember that we are by no means to attempt to be wiser or more righteous than God. For to do so is exceedingly wicked. We must not take away from His Word because it offends our thinking. We must come to the realization that it is, if there is a conflict between not us and David, but between us and the Holy Spirit, who has given us this portion of His Word, then there's got to be an adjustment made. And it is not by the Holy Spirit. It is by us. It is by us. So let's first of all say that there is nothing in this psalm, nothing that David says that can be wrong. Absolutely nothing at all. There can be no moral objection to anything he teaches here. Are we clear on this? I hope so. It is morally objectionable to object to the teaching of the Spirit through David. That's where the moral objection is. Now, what is the occasion? Well, we don't know. We don't know. A couple of different occasions at least could rear up in our minds if we know our Bibles well. We could be thinking, perhaps, of, and some commentators have said this, that this may have been written around the time when David was being pursued by Saul, or many years later, and David thinking about that. For after all, he was an intimate of Saul, and you know, he was an intimate with many in the court there, and Saul turned on him, moved by an evil spirit, and so on and so forth. Doesn't seem that way to me. It seems to me that this would be much closer related to his most beloved son's rebellion. The son whom he loved so very much, in fact, sinfully so, indulging his sin. And of course, that would be Absalom. But we don't know for sure. We don't know for sure. It seems more likely to me, but that's my opinion. Now we're not talking God's word. We're talking about the word and opinion of the pastor. And that's not quite the same thing by any means. Ultimately, as we are so frequently reminded by Larry, if this were only that, of course, it would not have been given by God for blessing to us and for use by us in the Church of Jesus Christ in all ages. For there is something, or more to the point, someone in view here. I was reading a commentary on this by Charles Spurgeon. It was just a day or so ago that Larry was saying, I'm getting sick again, so I had to rush through a meditation on this. And Spurgeon was saying that ever, I think this is a direct quote, ever and anon, we are seeing in this psalm Christ and Judas. And that is the case here. Of course, we think of how David was beset by enemies around him. So he was frequently, just as you and I are. We are hated because we are godly, just as David was. But most especially galling, and most especially terrible, was when he was betrayed by those whom he loved, betrayed by those whom he thought loved him. And as he says in here, that's much more difficult to deal with. And have you not found so in your own experience? Have you not found that to be the case? It is so very difficult. It isn't even foreseen. But Christ knows how that is. He was beset by those all about who hated him, who plotted against him, who were open enemies of his. But what was particularly difficult was to be betrayed by one of his intimate. He had apparently hundreds of disciples, folks, but there were the 12. The 12. And it was one of them who betrayed him. One with whom he had shared bread. Yes, even that very evening. One with whom he had been at the temple in worship, even in that very week beforehand. one with whom he had shared his heart. This one betrayed him with a mark of love and respect. Betrayed him intentionally with a kiss on the cheek. We think of the so-called kiss of death that was abroad with the Italian mafia. How very much so this was the case with Judas and Jesus Christ. It was through the means of this betrayal that Jesus, of course, went to his atoning death. It was through this terrible, awful, murderous thing that Judas did, betraying Jesus, that Jesus got rid of death, got rid of the curse, got rid of all kinds of nastiness, including the wrath of God upon all his elect. But that still has nothing for Judas. Judas is even yet condemned for the wicked role that he had. Now then, be sure, friends, because we must, as Paul says, fill up the full measure of the suffering of Christ. We must too undergo persecution. We must too endure the hatred of people round about us. And it may be that we will be betrayed by friends. But we can, with David, in confidence, and perhaps many of you have seen this to be a truth, say, in verse 22 there, cast your burden on Jehovah, and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. And the Hebrew there has the picture of, say, if I were to take this flower stand here and move it off the platform, and it would go clattering over down the steps, the flowers go everywhere, water and mess and all that would cause, it because it was moved off of its sound resting place up here in the platform. That is the picture of what God will not allow for the believer. We are solidly anchored upon a solid foundation of the rock of Jesus Christ. And upon that rock, we, as part of the Church of Jesus Christ, are firmly established, firmly set, firmly founded. We cannot, we shall not be moved. Jehovah shall never permit this to happen. In contrast, though, in that last verse, what shall happen to those who are the wicked, whether they be outwardly and vocally so, or whether they be sneaky, treacherous, pretended friends? Down they shall go, here in verse 23, down to the pit of destruction. Those who thirst for blood. We would tend to think of those as being the overt and vocal enemies, and deceitful men, the ones who pretend to be our friends but sneakily are our enemies, shall not live out half their days. But I will trust in you. We have complete trust in the care, the protection, the deliverance of Jehovah God. Why? Because he brought Jesus through. Brought Jesus through death, and onto victory at his resurrection. And that same Jesus rules over all now, having ascended to the Father and now being seated at his right hand. As our priest, he continues to intercede for us. As our prophet, he continues to give us these promises in his word. And as king, he continues to rule over everything so that we shall not be moved. The only movement should be that of the wicked. Well, let us sing now from Psalm 55. We're going to use portion A today. And as we sing these words, let us think of what Jesus had to endure in order to redeem us. And let us further think of how, indeed, he triumphed and he has redeemed indeed. Psalm 55, portion A.